Nice try, you bastard. No, I knew you were trying to.
Now I knew what you were pulling.
It's a Monday morning. Welcome back. You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock 96.5. WCMF, how's it going, buddy?
Pretty good, buddy.
What's going on, female buddy?
Doing good, buddy.
30 degrees right now. It's going to be 44.
Nice.
It's going to be 44 today. Sound the alarms, okay. Release the balloons. We are going to be above freezing, and then tomorrow we start the descent back down. But that's okay. We're going to be in the 40s
so
all week
long. So
it'll
melt a little bit and freeze a little bit and melt.
Well, okay. So, yeah. Depending
melt
on what.
Freezing.
And a freezing.
And a melting.
Melting.
And a freezing.
Yeah. So we'll be in the 40s until this weekend. And even this weekend, I mean, other than a 25 on Sunday, we're looking golden, buddy.
So we might get rid of some of this snow.
Thank God, because yes. My driveway is still an ice rink.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not doing anything with it. Can't make me. It's America. Did you guys have a good weekend?
Hey, it was a weekend.
Yeah?
Yeah, standard.
Okay. Kimmy, was it your husband's birthday over the weekend?
It was Saturday.
Damn.
Wow. What'd you get him?
You're going to make fun of me.
Of course, chintz out.
So, no. I got him. So, there's this vintage store in Buffalo. I got him like a... He's not up yet. I got him a vintage shirt, but it hasn't come in yet. And I
Wait,
also got him...
How's a vintage shirt not in yet?
I don't know.
It
takes him like forever to ship. It's a great question.
Yeah, we're still making it vintage. So you got him something used.
Yeah, but he likes it.
His used piece of clothing. It's not okay, here
you
yet.
Don't understand.
No, I got it, man, completely.
You wouldn't get it.
Here's my concern.
Yeah.
Why don't you just give him $45 and call it even?
Because it's more than $45?
Yeah. You don't even know.
No, man.
You don't even know how much it is.
Oh, I didn't add the tax. I'm sorry.
So your husband, he's a larger man like I am.
Yes, he is.
Broad shoulder.
Yes.
Taking a pretty big risk buying vintage clothing for a larger man. How vintage are we talking?
Yeah, but he has something similar.
Okay.
So I know that what size he got in that, so I'm hoping this works out. If not, we're taking a trip to Buffalo, I guess, to return it.
How vintage are we talking here?
90s,
80s,
70s? Okay. Is it like a jersey?
No, it's like a shirt. It's a t-shirt.
It's a shirt. I got you a shirt. Happy birthday. Shirt. You know, it's interesting. I'm excited for him.
Yeah, me too.
So his birthday was on Saturday, but he hasn't gotten it yet.
I ordered it like 3 weeks ago,
figuring
it was here, but it would be here by now.
You're betting $1,000.
I actually, it's funny. I just got the shipping notification on Saturday.
Here, happy birthday. Here's nothing.
Well, I know. I also got him a karaoke machine.
Does he sing?
He loves karaoke now. It's like his new hobby.
Okay. But
that's like you.
I don't love karaoke. My wife loves karaoke. I am.
Oh, you like karaoke.
But you've had a machine
forever.
You see
the videos.
Look, I'm forced to do karaoke.
It's a family thing for you.
Do I do it well? Yeah. Am I gonna keep people from getting with the glory that is me?
They always said you were the boy with the golden voice.
No, you know what sucks?
Oh, golden throat, actually. Excuse me.
You know what sucks?
What?
I'm pretty damn good at karaoke. My brother
says
Ryan.
Says everybody that does it.
My brother Ryan might be the best karaoke performer.
He's a good singer.
He is. So, like, it sucks.
I've been to his shows.
Yeah, no, you've seen. Yes, you've seen. So, I can't even, I'm pretty damn good, but I'm not even the best in my family. So, it's like being one of
And your old man's a good singer.
No, he's not. He thinks he is. But it's like being one of the Baldwin brothers that isn't Alec Baldwin. Like, yeah, you're in a couple movies, but, like, look at that guy over there.
You three should do something like the Irish Tenors.
Shut
right?
up.
The three of you.
Don't do this, man. Shut up.
You guys could tour.
No, because my dad
could
is
get
the bagpipes back. Yeah,
you're musically inclined.
Yeah. My brother and I
put on a hell of a show.
Shut up! No, my dad would just want to sing the song "Brandy" 7 times. That's his go. That and Jesse's Girl. It's just my and Main Street. I'm sorry. Right. Anyway, no, it's actually what you're doing with your husband is the perfect transition.
Mm. Why is that,
Kimmy? Well, over the weekend, I was in the vintage game myself.
Oh, were you vintages?
Well, I went out to Batavia Downs.
Okay.
They had a sports collectible show.
Ooh.
And they do these every couple months. And it's one of my favorite places to go. You guys know I'm huge nerdy about sports collectibles.
Yep.
And they bring out former athletes to sign autographs and things like that. So it's really cool.
So the guys are there.
Yeah. Like I got Kyle Williams.
Whoa.
Got signed my jersey. No big deal.
All right.
Anyway, so it never disappoints. Like, it's like walking through a museum that of stuff you can also buy, like these guys that set up these tables.
Mm-hmm.
And you ruined this kind of for me.
Well,
because I used to be able to just go and lose myself in this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And now every time I'm there and I'm looking at stuff, all I hear is you in my head. Look at all this junk.
Where are you going to put that? No space. Junk.
But is your stupid voice is in my brilliant head.
Or the tables of crap you have to like navigate through.
But that's just it, man. I'm looking at some of the prices for some of this stuff that people have just had in their attics and basements for years. And it's astonishing. And it occurred to me.
What's that?
As I'm looking through all this stuff on Saturday, the amount of valuable stuff that lives in the homes of people in Rochester that they don't even realize will fetch them fortune.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Because, like, so there was a couple of, like, beer signs from the late 80s or early 90s that had, like, Bills players on them. And these things were going for hundreds of dollars, just cardboard cutout signs, right? And it got me thinking, like, bro, think about the amount of Jenny signs, mirrors, and beer taps that are in someone's basement or attic right
now. Be a grandpa's,
I mean, they go for hundreds, some of them thousands of dollars.
Sitting on gold.
The Kodak stuff from back in the day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Lord knows the amount of stuff that's still in people's basements and attics.
Stuff that they all got for free at one point.
Or stole.
Yeah.
I love how you say got for free. Stuff they all walked out of there with.
Some of that stuff wasn't some of that stuff like given to them, like the Kodak branded stuff?
You'll never know. Yeah, they gave it to me.
Like the thermoses.
So, like, when you go to these things, it's mostly sports stuff, though.
Yeah,
right?
It's all sports stuff.
It's not like antiques or anything.
No, I mean, those are different kinds of shows. But, I mean, like, even that antique stuff. So, there's a place on West Henrietta Road. It's like, it's called, like, the Antique Mall or something like that. And when you walk through there, you see all this stuff that you remember Kimmy having in the house in the 80s and 90s that now goes for hundreds of dollars.
Damn.
And it's, you know, it's a kick in the scroll because it's like, oh, if my parents would have saved it, we'd be rich.
Yeah.
But then again, if everyone has saved it,
no one
would
be spending. Yeah, they probably would have saved everything, not just that.
So to that point, at this antique mall on West Henrietta Road, the vintage Ray-Ban market has taken off.
Oh, the sunglasses.
Yeah, you got it. And like the kids.
Those aviator glasses they got.
And the Wayfarers from the 70s and 80s. The amount of kids whose parents worked at Bausch & Lomb back in the day.
Oh, by the way, they gave them that stuff.
Yeah.
You're doing it now, too.
So they used to have, do you remember those trunk sales they used to have?
I might have been too young.
So they would just have them in a parking lot.
No kidding.
And you could just go buy this stuff for like I don't know how cheap it was, but it's pretty goddamn cheap because everybody in this town owned a pair of Ray-Bans.
Yeah. My parents have like a box of them that they got from like my dad's buddy who worked for Bausch & Lomb. Like
they probably gave it to
them. Yeah. They wanted you to have, you know, promote their product in town.
No, but the thing is, too, they're cool, but they have, like, sponsors on the sides.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you could tell they were a promotional item.
Yeah.
Those are actually worth more
are
money,
they?
Depending
no
on
kidding.
Which.
They don't fit my head.
So there's one.
They were made, like, they were almost made to not fit you well.
There's a pair of Wayfair, and I'm a Wayfair guy. It fits my head the right way.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
They're at this antique mall. They are the 94 Olympics, or whatever the winter one was.
Yeah.
They've got the bobsled logo on this.
Oh, wow.
And they're like $400.
Jesus Christ.
And there's no way I could afford them, but I would look really damn cool in bobsled Wayfarers.
Okay,
it's pretty damn cool. I guess what I'm saying is, Kimmy, do your parents still have that box of sunglasses?
I know they were trying to like give them away. So, but they do still have probably a few pairs.
Tell them to go through them right now.
Where would you do? I guess you just sell them online.
Honestly, though, they're pretty like cheap feeling.
Yeah,
like,
I understand.
That's why, you know, like they don't feel like they'll hold up well.
Well, look, I got eBay pulled up right now for research purposes.
But don't use that as a sales pitch.
I mean, yeah, man. Like some of these ones, there's like one case in this antique mall that's all vintage Ray-Bans. Yeah, I'm looking at it. Okay, vintage 80s aviator Tortuga sunglasses, $400.
Ooh, Tortuga. That's tortoise shell.
87 General Aviator, $449. These are all things that people walked out of.
So those aviators got those are the Tom Cruise ones, right?
Yes. Which, by the way, Bausch & Lomb paid. There were several movies in the 80s, Top Gun being one of them, where they paid for the product placement.
Yeah, I think Risky Business was another one.
Yeah, you're right.
Because that was the movie poster with the sunglasses.
Yeah, and it worked. I mean, they paid for it, and we were all like, oh, pretty cool. And then we're like idiots who went out and bought or stole sunglasses having access here. You know what's really big right now? We're talking about all the stuff that's worth money in your house that you don't realize. Rochester Royals stuff.
So the old basketball team.
That's really hard to come by.
Everyone threw it out.
Yeah.
Well, it's got to be ancient, right? When was this? The last game played here in the early 60s?
They left in 57.
They left in 57.
Now, by the way, for those who don't know, the Rochester Royals, former NBA team here in Rochester, they're now the Sacramento Kings. They won an NBA championship here in 1951 at the War Memorial.
And didn't you almost say Bill Russell was coming here?
Bill Russell was supposed to come here. It's a big story.
They had a deal, and he went to the Celtics.
Okay, I'll give you real quick. They had the opportunity to draft Bill Russell, arguably the greatest basketball player of all time.
Mm-hmm.
The Celtics wanted him. The guy who owned the Celtics also owned the Ice Capades.
Yes.
And they cut a deal where Rochester got more Ice Capades date in exchange for the Celtics being able to draft Bill Russell. So they passed on Bill Russell for the Ice Capades.
But I guess at that time, it was probably a bigger draw was the Ice Capades than basketball. It wasn't that big at that time.
Bill Russell!
Yeah, but who? But you know what I'm saying.
You could have had the Bill Russell Capades.
But they go.
The Russ Capades.
I don't think he's much of a skater.
No, but like anything Rochester Royals from that day is worth an.
Well, it's like ancient history, so yeah.
And nobody saved it. Like, I mean, I've got. I managed.
That's like pre JFK.
No, you really. It's a full 15 years before he was shot.
Yeah.
I mean, do you how much stuff was actually sold, anyways? So Rochester Royals,
like merchandise wise.
So there's a pennant that I've had my eye on for years that I'm waiting. $300. It's a tiny pennant. It's like
it's
tiny.
They gave it
away.
Inches?
Yeah, they gave it away for free.
Oh, like pennant
at a game or something.
But like programs, depending on like the condition of them, will go anywhere between like $75 to $500. Mm-hmm.
Now you know a lot of that stuff just got thrown out.
That's why it's so valuable, right? Like even the basketball cards from back in the day, you can't find Rochester Royals any player for under $100.
So what are they now? The Sacramento Kings?
You got it.
All right.
Rochester, Cincinnati, Kansas City, Sacramento.
Well, all right.
Yeah. And all of that could have changed had they not traded Bill Russell for the Ice Capades. The Ice Capades. All right, we got a dynamite. Bill Russell probably can skate. The guy's an athlete, for God's sakes.
Too tall.
Yeah. He was a player coach, man.
Yeah, but the Ice Capades, you got to be a character. What character would a 7-foot guy be?
A tree.
Ah, okay.
Ah, see?
Skating tree.
Skating tree. Got to have trees, too.
Yeah.
Understand why you're hesitant, right? The disgust is understandable.
All right.
But if you are a person who likes this place, hell, even if you've never been to this place, the time to go is now.
Do it.
You go right now.
Okay.
Like now.
What are you going to get?
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. So last week, we shared with you a story that the health department had shut down Texas Roadhouse in Henrietta.
Mm-hmm.
And after a couple of news cycles, we found out that it was a pest problem.
Yeah, it usually is.
You got it. So they went in, the folks from Texas Roadhouse, they got folks to remove all the pests and do all that stuff.
Clean her up.
Yep, exactly. And after it was all cleaned up, they reopened, were allowed to reopen by the state on Friday.
Freshly scrubbed cow.
So I did not drive by Texas Roadhouse this weekend.
Yeah.
I did not see what the crowd looked like. Now, Kimmy, you know Texas Roadhouse normally packed.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm sure that they have their regulars.
All right. Do you think that the health department shutting them down was enough to keep people away this weekend when they reopen?
I think if you're a red meat eater, which you have, that's like in your high rotation, which I'm sure a lot of people are.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
You're going.
So you don't think it bothered anybody?
It may bother you, but you're gonna eat through it.
All right. 252-WCMF, 252-9263. Is something like the health department shutting a place down enough to keep you away from a restaurant, either for the long term or forever? Because you would understand why someone would want to avoid.
Yeah, but you're a steak eater, bro. It's a different. That's a different mindset than other eaters. You go out for steak.
Yeah.
My sister and her fifth husband were steak eaters.
Okay.
Like every night, ribeyes and potato and butter. That was their diet. And trust me, she was going out for that rib steak.
All right, I'm
going
to counterpoint you, though.
Because if you eat a rib steak, by the way, they're also chain smokers.
Okay.
So they didn't give an F about any goddamn little critter running
around. I get why. That,
eat that critter as a side plate.
I get why the logic is there.
I crap critters.
I get why. Put that on a T-shirt, sell the rug shop.
Well, you technically do.
I get why you would have that logic, but it is strange how people that, and you know, myself included, can have terrible habits that look at something like this and be like, ooh, no.
All right.
Like, you'll literally be putting your cigarette in the iced tea that you're drinking. Like, no. See, counterpoint to the whole, if you're a meat eater, you're going to go. I mean, there's 1,000 steakhouses in Rochester, New York.
Yeah.
You can go to 10 different ones if you don't want to go to Texas Roadhouse. So, like, if you are bothered by the back of the house and it getting shut down, you have other options.
But Texas Roadhouse does it right because it's affordable.
Yeah.
It's not like a high-end steakhouse where I got to put on a jacket and tie.
Okay.
And they're going to whack me $45 for a steak.
No, you're right.
They keep it reasonable.
But I can go to Applebee's and get myself a nice $20 steak.
Yeah, limited selection, but okay.
Okay. Excuse me, man.
They don't have the type of butter I like on my ribeye.
When is the last time you had a steak?
Oh, man.
You bitch.
Oh, the holidays.
Yeah. Okay, having a tiny
the bicentennial.
Nibble, having a tiny nibble of your wife's steak off her plate does not count as having a steak.
We split one once in a while.
Kimmy, your husband, I assume, loves himself some steak.
That's a beefy boy right there.
This is a place he's frequented.
Would what happened over the weekend be enough to keep him away?
I think after some time, He probably will look past it.
Okay. So here's the thing.
Pat says go now.
I think that there also is a difference of hearing about it versus seeing it.
Which, by the way, apparently there was a video that is being claimed coming from that kitchen.
Right, right. And I think that for some people may be enough to not go back. Because like I said, like there was a place that something very similar happened to right around the corner from me.
Love that place.
And there's still a line out the door every time it opens. So it didn't deter anybody.
All right. So with your husband wanting to wait, and a lot of people say, I'm going to wait it out at Texas Roadhouse. That is the wrong way to do it. The right way is to go as soon as possible.
I think people need, you're right, it makes sense, but I think people need some time to forget about it.
Okay, I get it.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. That restaurant will never be cleaner
than
any other restaurant in America.
Yeah, it's shining.
Squeaky clean.
Thank you. Yeah. Because one,
glistening.
You had to get everything taken care of to reopen.
Yep.
On top of that, I believe the health department makes extra visits after a place gets shut down for something like this.
I hope so.
So they're going to have more eyes on them, so they are forced to be more responsible. And the cherry on top of it, it's a national corporation. Mm. I believe this is a franchise.
Yeah. Yeah.
There is no way the folks up the ladder at Texas Roadhouse aren't paying attention to this and have extra eyes business-wise on this restaurant.
Might get a couple of specials right now to get people back in. You never know.
So, I mean, even when it's saving money or not, it will never be cleaner than any other restaurant in America than it is right now. I wish I would have gone this weekend. I wish I would have gone this weekend. 252 WCMF. Again, we're talking about Texas Roadhouse after being shut down for a pest issue. They reopened on Friday. Let's talk to Jeremy. Hey, Jeremy. How are you, buddy?
You know, hearing about Tommy's sister's diet, Jesus, did she kill herself? Because, you know, 2 years later, she's going to die from heart stoppage. Well, that butter and beef. Wait, Lord Almighty.
Here's the thing. All the Mulet women, big fans of meat. Huge meat.
They are.
Meat
but
fans.
They love them. My mother loved meat.
Wide open mouth, meat all up in there.
You couldn't give my mother enough meat on a Saturday night.
I hear it's some of the men as well. Listen, every restaurant, as a person who used to work in the industry, every restaurant has a little bit of insects. Every restaurant has a mouse every once in a while. The problem with Texas Roadhouse is the health department in New York State will give you multiple tries to clean up your act before they shut you down. It's the last thing they want to do. So this is really a problem for them. And you're absolutely right. The cleanest this restaurant is ever going to be is right now. For me, I'm not going back.
Jeremy's out.
Specific location.
He's out.
Yep. Yeah, because like I told you, you have multiple times to clear this up, make this right. And the fact that the health department shut you down, it's not a good look.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a question, and maybe you don't know this because Jeremy, when did you get out of the food service industry?
It's been a while.
Okay, so I don't know if a viral video now, because everybody sees something, forces the state to do something. Have you heard anything about that?
I haven't. And when I was in the industry, there were no viral videos of any kind. The health department comes to your establishment once a year regardless. So if they find any kind of issues on their annual inspection, they'll have a follow-up, maybe 4 or 6 weeks later. That's probably what happened in my estimation. They came for the yearly inspection. They found some issues, and they said, hey, clean these up. We'll be back. They came back, did the follow-up inspection, and maybe depending on if the inspector was having a good day or not, said, we'll give you a few more weeks to clear this up, or we'll write you a violation right now. That's what I'm saying, man. You have a lot of opportunity to make this right, and the fact that they didn't and they shut you down, it's not good.
Jeremy, where else am I getting my rolls with the cinnamon butter, though? That's my question.
That's it.
I mean, that's the only
sweet buns.
They're not that good.
Oh, shut up, Jeremy. I'm hanging up on you now. Shut up.
Oh, no. All right, bye, there.
Bye, Jeremy. God, I hate guys like that. Because, Jeremy's fine and all. Mm. But that smug food, you know, that good. It's okay to eat garbage every once in a while. Yeah, I know that it's not AAA diamond cuisine, but it tastes good to me.
Well, if you're going to a steakhouse, you're not going for health reasons. You're going because you just want to eat a delicious steak. Give me all the butter you got.
Mm. Again, logic works out that way.
Yeah.
But if I'm going to get something that's going to shut down my heart, I want it to be clean
all right.
And shut it down my heart. All right, I'll ask you this question. 252-WCMF, 252-9263. Because all three of us have worked in back of houses of restaurants before, right?
Okay. Seen some stuff.
So we're all aware. Uh-huh. Everybody that's worked in the back of a house is aware what goes on even in places that are fine.
Yeah.
Right? Is there something you could see or hear, Tommy, that would put you off of a restaurant forever?
Like I'm done?
Yeah, I'm never going back.
It wouldn't be It wouldn't be like, it would have to be something a human's doing to the food.
Okay. Oh,
more yeah. than like, yep. I get a mouse coming in, you know, you didn't clean something. But if I saw somebody doing something to the food, as a guy that did stuff to food.
No, but that's the other thing.
No, but I know of what I speak.
Okay.
Your asses have never had raw meat touch your rectum.
You know, what's funny about that, though.
I have.
I understand. Mm-hmm. You tell that story about a man who complained about a cut of meat. You wiped yourself with it,
yeah.
served it to him, and then you claim he said it was the best meat he ever had.
Bro,
my ass. Your ass.
my ass certified. I got witnesses to this.
USTA, United yeah. States Taint Association.
I could call a guy up right now, but he's probably at AA right now.
No, but what I'm saying is, you knew what you did.
Yeah. That would gross me out.
Okay, but you did it,
yeah,
and
that
if you did it, other people were doing it, which
I
means
know.
You've also probably had ass meat. Have you never thought about that?
Ass meat.
Yeah, meat that has touched another person's ass.
I never really thought about it.
No, if you did it.
But it's fully cooked.
No, but it's a statistical impossibility that you are the only man that's ever done that.
Right.
Right?
But for me, but so many people would have to do it for me to have it done to me.
You sure?
Well, think about it. That means you've also tasted it.
Understood. That's the point
Timmy
I'm making.
Has tasted ass meat.
All right. Let me ask you this.
Lovely.
Did you ever buy meat from the meat shop you worked in?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
But it's usually meat I cut.
You never got it from your buddies?
No.
Really? So you cut every piece of meat that you took
Well,
home.
No, probably
he
not.
He started to have a crisis right now. Bro, you absolutely you had a full diet of cheek meat, bro.
But look at me.
Yeah.
I'm fine.
Is that what
66 is still going strong, baby.
Kimmy, is there something you could see that would swear you off a restaurant?
Well, I think there was one place I didn't go back to. It was a breakfast spot, and I ordered a coffee, and in the bottom of the cup of coffee was hair.
Yeah, hair's gross.
And I couldn't go back after
really,
that.
Really? The hair bothers you that much?
Hair
I think
freaks
it was
me
just
out,
the
man.
Fact that it was in there the whole time. Like, how did
yeah,
it even get
it was
in
like
there?
It was like brewing in your coffee.
Yeah, like, I don't know if it was in the coffee or in the cup. But
and
it was like,
way,
it wasn't just like a single hair. Like, it was like, it was
a
like
clump?
Kind of like a clump of hair.
Ah! By the way, you don't know what hair that is, bro.
No.
No, it was hair. I mean,
no, you don't
hair,
know where
hair.
That hair came
you
from.
You know what
it wasn't,
pubes look
yes.
like, man.
I know it wasn't that. It was like
well,
long
I know you get
strands
a good
of
view
hair.
Every Saturday night.
I don't, actually. I never have.
No, but like people itch themselves, you know, and then they touch and they do.
Okay, can we talk about the hair thing for a second?
Because I always kind of figured everybody wore hair nets and that kind of thing, or you know, because we always had to.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
The hair is at least up in a hat.
Yeah, or
it's
under. And they wore hats, so I was like, "How did this get here? Was it in the coffee? I don't know. It bothered me too much.
I've never understood the hair thing, right?
Your hair is one of the filthiest things on your body.
You say that about every part of the body every time we talk about the body.
Yes. Your body is filthy.
What makes you think that hair is one of the most filthy
it's
parts of your
like
body?
It's full of bacteria
yeah,
and it absorbs
it
things.
Okay.
It's greasy.
All right. If I'm eating
sweaty.
If I go to a restaurant and I'm eating something I like and I find a hair, I will just take the hair
okay,
out
like
and continue
a single
to eat.
Hair, though, is different than a clump of hair. And I think it's something about drinking something that the
yeah.
hair is in grosses me out.
And it's
you're
a,
right.
It's
you
a warm
can
beverage.
Pick the hair off of food. But it was brewing in my coffee.
But, also the length of the hair. Like, if you pull out a real stringer, man, like, out of your ravioli, like,
yeah.
you're pulling this thing out.
Yeah,
and it's
I don't want hair
sauce.
Baked into something.
No.
It slops
like
when it hits the floor.
If it's just sitting on the food because it fell off of somebody's head, fine. Yeah. But if it was, like,
mixed
in there, like, baked
in.
I'm out.
The longer the hair, the better. I want a 9-foot piece of hair because the shorter the hair gets, the better the odds that it's pubes. Unless you
who's
have
making your food bank, Greg Allman.
Unless you have the Rapunzel of pubes, if the hair is long, it means it came from your head, which I can handle.
Right.
No?
I no hair. No body stuff
no,
in my
okay,
food.
Obviously, I'm not ordering a burrito with hair in it, but if it's in there and it's delicious.
I'm sending it back,
oh,
man.
Oh, send it. Yeah, that's a good idea.
No, I wouldn't send it back. I just wouldn't go back.
Idiot. What are you, I don't want anything done to my food. Take it back. Ring back it right
there
now.
You go.
How dare you?
I'm paying for your pubes.
All right. So, again, the Texas Roadhouse is back open. So, go enjoy the
cinnamon butter.
The cleanliness. Once they start selling that in Wegmans, it's game over. I'll be buying a carton of that every week.
Mm.
Sometimes the best lists are the ones you're not on.
Oh, good.
Because not that long ago, Tommy.
Oh.
There would have been folks that argued Rochester should be on this list.
We made every bad list back in the day.
But Tommy, a city not too far from us was not as fortunate as we were this time. Even though it seems they're the only one in the whole damn state that has to wear this scarlet letter. You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. Tommy, I have in front of me a list.
Yeah.
The 50 most miserable cities to live in America.
Oh. You're miserable.
And right off the bat, I'll tell you, we're not on it.
Yeah. Do you know what qualified, like how these made the most miserable cities?
Yeah, I'll give you the details when we get into it.
Weather's going to be a big one.
Who it is. No, weather is not factored in at all. You got it.
All right.
So, there is a city not that far from us that made it. And I want you guys to guess. I'm going to give you three clues.
All right.
It's not Buffalo or Syracuse.
Right.
It's about 2.5 hours away. And it once held a team that played the Rochester Americans. Right. Would you like to take a guess?
I'm going to shoot for Erie.
No.
Close.
Erie in Pennsylvania.
Oh, I forgot. You said two, but it has to be New York State. I'm sorry.
Did you say which direction 2 hours?
Give me a guess.
Utica?
No, not bad.
But that's too close.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, it would have to be up.
No. God.
Watertown.
You're an idiot. No, you already had your guess. You're out.
You're just throwing South out Erie. Everything.
Shut up. South Erie.
It's a rough area, man. A lot of gang activity.
Yeah, it's called Pittsburgh. Ladies and gentlemen. All right. Binghamton, New York was named the 11th most miserable city to live in America.
Yeah, we've done gigs down there. It wasn't that bad.
Well, no, it only became miserable after our gigs finished.
They got a nice Wegmans there.
Shut up!
They do!
Shut up!
I remember stopping there on my way to New York sometimes.
All right, so Kimmy, you asked what puts them on this list.
Yes.
They have a high poverty rate, 27%. Their median household income is only about $40,000 a year.
So they're busted.
Yeah.
Busted in Binghamton.
And they have a high unemployment rate.
Oh.
Binghamton like considered a college town or no?
It's a good question because I've spent a lot of time in Binghamton the last couple of years because my daughter is playing a tournament there. Yeah.
I know it's kind of grown around that.
Most of the stuff going on downtown seems like it's for the college.
Okay. Because
it's like it kind of feels like Ithaca now.
Yeah, I would think like that would kind of, you know.
Yeah, bump it up.
Yeah, bump it up, not make it worse.
All right, let me put it this way.
And
the phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. So there is a hotel on the water in Binghamton.
What water?
Looks really nice. Is there what river? Is that the Hudson that runs through?
Is it?
No, the Hudson wouldn't be there.
No, south. What's south?
I don't know what water.
There's got to be some busted ass river.
It's a river anyway.
Okay.
Yeah.
The hotel looks nice from the outside. And I remember getting there like, wow, this looks like a nicer hotel than we normally stay in when we are on hockey tournament weekends. And then Friday night at like 8 o'clock, all of the people that don't have places to live or got thrown out of their homes started showing up to stay the night.
Oh.
And the amount of times the cops got called to this hotel.
So you get a nice little show.
Well, I mean, not when your kids are in the room and you can hear a domestic incident happening next door. Yeah, it's a very strange scene because you know what Binghamton's like? It's like walking through a city that they stopped in 1970.
All right. Kind of frozen in time.
Because there is a downtown, but like a lot of the old stores are like old
department stores. Yeah, I like shopping at Gimbel's.
Your Gimbel's. So, 252-WCMF, 252-9263. They don't factor in weather, so I don't want to hear you say weather.
All right.
What is the one thing, above all else, that makes a community miserable to live in?
It would have to be poverty or crime.
Okay, so the one thing would be poverty or crime.
Well, I'm trying to think like that and like, you know, crappy education.
Okay, that's three things. If you had to pick one.
Poverty.
All right, so poverty.
Because poverty, you get all the bad stuff.
Okay, valid point.
It just kind of shows up.
Valid point.
So I'm thinking of a very poor, poor city.
Okay.
And I got one in mind.
Which one?
Jackson, Mississippi.
Okay, well,
maybe one of the roughest places I've ever driven through.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's not a lot of places in Mississippi that aren't rough, but Jackson, you're right.
Yeah.
So, but here's the thing. Yeah. I mean, you know, poverty is only makes a place miserable to live if you are in poverty.
But it kind of spreads out a little bit because it kind of causes a lot of problems that everybody has to deal with.
No, you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Crime, education, all that stuff feeds into it.
Okay, so you pick a specific thing. It's the poverty that makes things go.
If you po downtown, you got problems.
All right, Kimmy, in your humble opinion, what is the one thing above all that makes a place miserable to live outside of weather?
I mean, I would think it has something to do with your social life. Like, if there's no activities to do or things to keep you occupied, something to look forward to, I would think that that would take away from the place you're living.
Can I point out the brilliant social divide that just happened in this
room?
Because old white guy who lives in Pittsburgh. You know what it is? It's the poverty that causes a crime.
Nobody wants to work
that's
anymore.
A problem. That's Kimmy, the young, fun one, I just need something to do.
Well,
I don't care where
party.
I live.
I'm thinking like that's why you love living in Pittsburgh, right? You got stuff right around. You got a bunch of stuff right around the corner.
That he doesn't do.
No, I got to look
at store. I will say he does do more than I think somebody that is
my
introverted as you are would do. No, I think like, you know, restaurants, stuff like cafes, stuff like that. Just stuff to like make your day a little bit better.
Well, we're places where I could wear a scarf and feel normal.
That's anywhere in Pittsburgh. 252-WCMF. Again, we have the 50 most miserable places to live in America, and Rochester is not on it. But Binghamton, New York made the list. And when you do side-by-side Rochester to Binghamton, right? Like, I mean, you know, it's easy to crap all over the place you live.
Yeah.
And lots of people tend to do it. But it's not until you compare, like, Binghamton as the 11th most miserable place to live, if you've been there lately, compared to where we live, where it's like, yeah, you're right. We've actually gotten pretty damn good
here.
Yeah,
because I'm just thinking, like, the places we travel to that were just horrible places. Like, I just couldn't believe why anybody would want to stay here.
Youngstown, Ohio?
Youngstown, Ohio, Flint, Michigan,
yeah.
Peoria, Illinois, were just, they were once, like, really proud cities that were just boarded up. Like, there was just nothing there. Flint, Michigan was, like, it was like the heart of the auto industry, and it was just a shell.
The one that is the most jarring, if you've ever gone through it, and I'm guessing most people haven't because you're probably driving, is Gary, Indiana.
Yeah, which ranks high in like every list of like one of the scariest places on the planet.
Yeah, but I think they got a Dave and Buster, so Kimmy's in.
That's Dave and Busted. They couldn't afford it anymore.
Ooh. That's a Gary, Indiana kind of joke right there. You'd fit right in.
Hey, hometown of Michael Jackson, buddy.
And the four rest of them.
Yeah, and the other boys.
252-WCMF. Let's talk to John. Hey, Johnny, how are you, buddy?
Good. Good morning, guys. I just wanted to tell you that it's the north branch of the Susquehanna.
Ah, Susquehanna River runs through Binghamton.
And then I think you're absolutely right about Binghamton is caught in a time warp because I had a bunch of relatives that lived in Binghamton and worked for IBM, and it used to be called the Triple Cities. You had Binghamton, Enwell, and Endicott. And once IBM left, it just is like the reference to the auto industry. It just almost like the brakes, the gas ran out, and it's been going downhill ever since.
I mean, to John's point, like, okay, like the infrastructure is there.
Nothing replaced it.
Yeah.
Well, but so here's what's really weird. They have a really cool old school hockey rink downtown, much okay. like the War Memorial here, but they don't have a team to play in it. So, like when my
what are they doing it,
so when
storage,
they, no, they let kids play in it.
Oh,
so, like right. my daughter, it was John. It was one of the coolest things ever. I'm sitting in this old barn. I love these old barns, right? Mm. And I'm watching my daughter play in a 10,000 seat arena in a 10U hockey yeah. game. It was cool, right. but it was also depressing at the yeah. same time. You know,
there is one still famous electric component maker in Binghamton, though. I don't know if you know who it is.
I didn't know the Susquehanna, so I'm not going to be able to guess.
What's
that
an electric
one.
Component?
Well, it's Macintosh amplifiers.
Oh, Mac amps.
Oh, yeah. Quality amps.
And Macintosh is still, like, if you have Mac amps, you got a lot of money in your pocket.
I just made that up. I can't believe I actually hit that ahead. All right,
rich.
John, if we have any other further Binghamton questions moving forward on the show, we'll be sure to give you a call, okay?
Okay, buddy, thanks.
John,
how's
thanks.
Your check engine light?
Thanks, John. Have a good rest. You had to get one last fact in before you hang up. It goes there, check engine light, goodbye!
I feel like Binghamton, a ton of people have been through Binghamton,
oh, yeah.
but nobody's actually seen Binghamton. Because like all I know of Binghamton is like it's where you stop sometimes if you're on a road trip.
You know what's weird?
Because they have all those places like right off the expressway, you know?
Yeah.
So that's all I know of Binghamton are like a couple places that we've stopped along the way, but I've never actually seen like downtown Binghamton.
Mm. All right, so, you know, I'd ask you guys a question. As we talk about this list, the top 50 miserable cities to live in America, the only city to make the list from New York State was Binghamton. The one thing, like there's a word that pops in my head.
What's that?
When it comes to making a community miserable to live in. You said poverty. Kimmy said nothing to do.
No nightlife.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nothing. No activities.
Hopeless. A place that feels hopeless.
Yeah.
Right? Because, like, there are places that have crime, but there's promise on the horizon. Mm-hmm. Like, something could go well, right? There are folks that have poverty, but there are folks sticking it out and trying together to build it back up, not leaving the area.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when you, like John just said, when what you were known for is gone or it's changed to something not even close to what it was, you can walk into a community and without knowing anything about it, feel the hopelessness.
Yeah, because there's nothing coming back. Nobody's coming here.
Exactly. So, like, when we compare Rochester to Binghamton, and granted, it's light years apart now, was Rochester ever at that hopeless point?
They were close. And then they reinvented themselves. But, yeah, they were right there.
Right, I mean, Kimmy, was there ever a point where you felt hopeless living in the greater Rochester area over the last couple of years?
I'm guessing, like, during the fall of Kodak, I was probably too young to recognize that, you know what I mean, as a kid.
Okay.
Feeling that hopelessness.
I mean, so you bring up, like, you know, between, like, 96 and 2006, like, Kodak collapses. There's nothing there to replace it. We were taking insane risks with, like, boat to Toronto, soccer stadiums we didn't need. Mm-hmm. Kodak, Jenny hadn't yet completed its resurgence, right?
And don't forget, Xerox also laid off a ton of people.
Was it that bad for that 10 years? Were we hopeless?
Yeah, probably.
Well,
but you don't know when you're in the middle of it. You know what I mean? When you're standing in the middle of it, you don't really see it.
You don't think so?
No, because you're in it.
Okay.
I mean, maybe other people looked at it differently. Because people probably thought, oh, it's going to come back. They're pulling some moves. They're going to do this. They're going to try that.
Yeah, but it does seem like the larger the swing to try and bring it back, the more hopeless you are. Like, again,
if it doesn't work,
Well, no, but I mean, it's not even whether it works or not. Like, the fact that you have to have a boat that's going to bring people back and forth from another country. The fact that you're building a soccer stadium that is completely unnecessary. Like, these massive swings that go absolutely nowhere. And I think you can make the argument that Rochester's in a good place now only because we don't even talk about the 10,000-seat stadium that exists five blocks from Frontier Field. It's there. They still use it. Not even a talking point anymore.
But where we sit, Browns Race, this was going to be revitalized into like a big nightclub area.
Another big swing, you're right.
A lot of money coming down. They try to do concerts down here. It just never worked.
But now did things like the U of R, though, like quietly help build stuff behind the scenes? You know what I mean? Like, the U of R has grown so much, and like the universities around here have grown a lot. And I wonder if, like, sure, it's not like one big thing that they contributed to, but it did help keep a lot of people in town.
No, I think you're right. And I when it comes to the one big thing with the college, it's medical, right? U of R with the residency.
That's sexy. Is that a boat? Is that a soccer game?
Yeah.
It's just the lame stuff that actually gets it done.
But it's the lame stuff that builds these cities in the first place. Kodak is lame. It built Rochester. IBM is lame. It helped build Binghamton. Like, all of these places.
It made money.
Exactly. Let me ask you this.
Go ahead.
Because, like, you know, having this discussion makes everyone feel pretty good about Rochester.
Mm-hmm.
What would it take for you to live in a hopeless community?
To move there?
All right, let's say, Tommy, hypothetical. Mm-hmm. Someone comes to you, they go, Tommy, they got an opening at a radio show in Binghamton, and I've heard your jokes. Your jokes will fit right in Binghamton. It's a hopeless community. We're going to offer you $200,000 a year. Would that be enough?
Ooh. That's like 20 times what I make. Yeah.
You would move to Binghamton for $200,000.
Yeah, because you could live like a king and go anywhere you want.
But I just made that argument that only when you're
in
poverty.
Well, you didn't say $200,000.
What about the crime you brought up? What about the bad schools, folks around you?
I don't have any kids, and I can live in a nice, isolated, gated neighborhood.
We're going
to have to deal with people. And they got a nice Wegmans down there. Yeah, I'm in.
Are there a lot of gated communities in big?
Every community has a rich area.
I understand.
Even the most bustedest.
You know who must love this list, by the way?
Who?
Utica, Jamestown, Watertown, Glens Falls.
How did they dodge that bullet?
I don't know, man. I mean, like, I think all those other places.
Rome, New York.
All those other places have a little something going.
Yeah, but I would think, like I said, Binghamton, with the university right there, like, you see these smaller towns really grow and expand around that. It's just weird that, like, that didn't help it at all.
Binghamton's not small. It's not Ithaca.
It's not
a small.
Maybe
I always thought it was
smaller than it actually is.
I mean, no, it's smaller than here obviously.
Yeah, but it's
too big, I think, for a community. But you know, I don't know.
I don't either.
We got Jake. He grew up in Binghamton. He'll have the last word. Hey, Jake, how are you, buddy?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, brother. What do you got for us?
I just heard you talking about Binghamton. I grew up in Binghton in the early 90s.
Okay.
Yeah, I grew up, well, technically Bestel, which is right next to Binghamton, but I worked my whole life in the restaurant industry in Binghamton. And the big thing about Binghamton is how it became so popular. It's the two crossroads of two major highways, the north and south and the east and west, all the way to Ohio and then from Maine to...
Yeah, they call it the Golden Center, Georgia. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's how it became a popular place. But as I was growing up, it was nice growing up there, but it has gone to garbage. I found out after I left, not even 3 years later, like drugs hit the area really bad, like the opiate epidemic. But the biggest thing about Binghamton. Oh, so they do have a nightlife. Well, the biggest thing about Binghamton, which you touched upon, was the Binghamton University. And we had a really good baseball team at BU where a lot of the players went on to become A, B, and even major league players.
They say college baseball can really turn a community around.
Well, talk to Omaha, Nebraska. All right, so Jake, well, let me ask you this. I'm sorry, I'm running late. Let me ask you this question. Having lived in Binghamton and now living in Rochester now, do you see any comparisons, or is Rochester a place where you look around and go, I'm glad I'm not in Binghamton anymore?
I'm glad I'm not in Binghamton
anymore. All right. Jake, I'd love to talk to you, buddy, but I got to go. Thank you for the call, man. I really appreciate it.
All right. Have a good one.
There we go. There goes Jake. Oh, if those Bears could have just turned it around.
Come on.